I talk quite a lot about worrying about the people on the end of the endpoints. Quite often in our industry, we're so focused on the endpoints, sometimes we forget the people.
This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to episode 60 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. As I record this, it's mid-February 2020, and I'm curious if your MSP business is at all being affected by a virus, but a different kind of virus than the ones we normally talk about on the show. I'm speaking specifically about the coronavirus, or COVID-19, as it's now been officially named. I saw one thread on an MSP Facebook group talking about some difficulties getting certain electronic parts or devices in stock because of slowdowns in the supply chain in Asia for those devices or parts. Here at Ovic, we're starting to feel a few ripples with the cancellation of Cisco Live in Melbourne, Australia, which was originally slated to take place the first week of March, but has now been cancelled. We were attending that show as a sponsor, and now, of course, we won't be. Fortinet Accelerate Europe, which we were also scheduled to attend, has been cancelled. That show was to have been in Barcelona in late February. And Mobile World Congress, another huge show like Cisco Live. We weren't scheduled to attend that one, but that's another huge tech conference that was to take place in Barcelona in late February, and that has also been cancelled. So far, we haven't seen any event cancellations in the Americas, so that's good news at least. But like I said, I'm curious, are you feeling any effects at all from coronavirus on your MSP business? Whether you're in Sydney or Amsterdam or Toronto or Dallas, let me know. Leave a comment on today's show notes with anything you're noticing. The show notes are at ovic.com/franklymsp/060. My guest today is Mark Copeman, author of a book for MSPs called Help Desk Habits, which is all about cultivating sustainable changes in your techs to help them be, well, honestly, more human in their interactions with clients. You're going to want to listen to this interview because in it, Mark introduces some very cool insights and tips, including how optimizing for customer service in your recruiting practice can open up a whole new candidate pool. For those of us in managed services and tech, you know that good technicians are scarce on the ground. So I found Mark's advice here, advice that some MSPs are already using and having success with, by the way, to be quite interesting. He also mentions how desktop wallpaper can drive your sales higher. Who knew? So grab some pen and paper or get ready to take some mental notes, and let's go.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovic Networks.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jennifer. Yeah, good to be here.
You have a book out now called Help Desk Habits, really talking about the human element of the help desk, which is interesting because we hear a lot of talk in the MSP industry right now about what we can do with automation and chatbots and AI. But you're really talking about putting the focus back on the human aspect of customer service. So what is that all about, and why do you think it's so important?
Yeah, I do. I think it's hugely important. And I think people are starting to crave some human contact. So often when people raise tickets, whether it be through email or the phone, they're pretty uptight about something. Something's gone wrong. It means they can't get on with their day and perform the tasks they need to perform. So sometimes I feel just having that empathy, that human touch, can help to placate people. It can help to set their expectations about how quickly things can be fixed or managed. Just as importantly, we are surrounded constantly by text, by automation, by chatbots and so on. And there is a place for that, don't get me wrong. But sometimes people are craving that human-to-human contact. And if you as an MSP learn the ways of providing that, the benefits are just huge. The referrals, the recommendations, and just knowing that you're doing a great job through those conversations is incredibly powerful.
So how do you go about building that human connection when you are communicating by, say, email?
There's a few things that you can think about. It's understanding, first of all, what that person is going through. It's trying to have a little bit of empathy. I talk quite a lot about worrying about the people on the end of the endpoints. Quite often in our industry, we're so focused on the endpoints, sometimes we forget the people. So with that remote communication, I'm not saying it's straightforward, taking a step back and spending a little bit of time reading very carefully the tone, or perhaps reading what the end game is of that particular ticket. Now, what are the repercussions? So something has happened, something needs to be fixed. But actually to consider what's going on around that particular person, and then being able to sort of triage it yourself. So you know how to react to it. You know if you need to react to it in a particular way, throw resources at it, make it urgent, or maybe it's something which is less urgent. I think that written communication, sometimes it's very, very easy to jump to conclusions. And so a lot of things I talk about and recommend are around being a bit of a detective, being a forensic person. And if it does mean going backwards and forwards a couple of times with more questions to find out perhaps what's really driving the problem, then it's absolutely worth doing.
You're talking about reading an email and reading it for tone and mood and reading it for the emotions or maybe the implications behind what the person's saying. That's a bit of a different skill set than a technician who's focused on technical problems. So how do you find people who can manage both that EQ, that emotional, and the IQ or the sort of technical stuff?
Yes, it's hard what we see. And, you know, I've spoken to many audiences over the last year or so. And so often people recruit with IQ at the forefront of their recruitment process. You know, you're looking for technically competent people, of course, who are great with technology, who really understand the ins and outs. But what I'm trying to do with the programs that I run is to balance things up a little. So that EQ typically is lacking in the stereotypical support technician. What I'm seeing, and I find this absolutely fascinating, is that there are some organizations out there who are actively recruiting people with higher EQ and, frankly, no technical skills whatsoever. So they're actually going out to the hospitality industry, for example, to go and find people who have that natural way with customers. They have a natural flair. They intuitively know how to say and do and write the right things. It's a completely different type of skill set, but they're then training them up on the IT side of things, putting them through certifications and so on. So that's an alternative way of going about things. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm certainly seeing people do that. It's a great success. If you have a traditionally high IQ person or team of high IQ people, then it's about subtly trying to work on those EQ skills. Doesn't happen overnight, and it's about taking baby steps.
So is it a question of getting them some training? I would imagine that it's just not something that you would intuitively learn, that there might be some training or some support that needs to be put into place.
My take on this is that it's pretty much impossible to, you know, in quotes, train someone to develop that EQ, certainly in a short space of time. We all kind of default back to our natural state. We do it all the time. You know, you and I will do it, I'm sure. You know, we'll learn something, and it might be a lunchtime seminar or something along those lines. And yes, sure, you may put those techniques and practices into place over the next week or so. But inevitably, and there's a physiological reason for this, we as humans tend to default back to our natural states. You forget the tactics and techniques that you've learned. I talked about being forensic, for example, and perhaps not jumping to conclusions when you see something written in a ticket. And sure, you could try and do that forensic thing for a week or two, but unless you really embed it as a habit, which is obviously what I've been talking about in the book, so that it becomes part of you, and that takes practice. But unless you do that, it's very, very hard to make that breakthrough and make that change, particularly, I think, when it comes to sort of personality change, which is what we're talking about here.
So how do you go about instilling those help desk habits, as you call them, into your help desk team?
I talk about tiny changes, massive impact. And for me, the best way to make change of any kind, whether it be, you know, within a help desk team, or in fact, even in your personal life, it's about doing one thing at a time and focusing on it. So again, tiny changes, massive impact. So if you can take one thing, whatever that may be, that perhaps, you know, you as a manager, as a business owner, see as critical to the success of your team over the next 6 months or a year, focus on that to start with. And I've seen this in some of the consulting work I do here in the UK. I have an MSP I work with, mainly sales and marketing related, but I sit and listen to their help desk team. They were having great conversations with customers, but they weren't sort of closing down little bits of business. So a customer would talk about perhaps, you know, needing to do something with a server, needing to move a server or the data into a cloud or whatever it may be. So what we did one simple thing, and that was to put a desktop wallpaper on their desktop, which is something we all stare at a lot, and it sounds like a gimmick, but go with me, which simply said, "Shall I book that in for you today?" It was a mental prompt for that technician to have a conversation with a customer, but rather than just sort of let it lie and not nail it down, to actually throw that phrase in. And it really did work, Jennifer. It's a great example of just focusing on one thing for about a month. That's what they did. And now it's instilled in all of that team.
That's excellent. I can imagine using something like that, as you say, for a month and then switching it up to a different question so that you're sort of ingraining a whole range of behaviors over the course of a year.
Yes, exactly. It's about layering on these habits, as I call it. And again, you can think about it within your personal life as well. There's no difference. Your brain doesn't distinguish between personal and business. Rather than trying to just make an enormous, massive change, which we all know is very, very hard and rarely works, just to take things one step at a time and focus on something for a week. It could be for a couple of weeks and then layer on the next one. And each of these habits aren't necessarily going to make a massive difference. But if you layer them on one by one, and this is the other thing as well, Jennifer, is it's about being consistent. And the research says, and I am generalizing here, but typically it takes about 70 days to form a habit. Sometimes it's quicker, sometimes it takes longer, but that's what they talk about as an average. So it's about being consistent and coming back time and time again and making sure that you keep that focus. And if you do for a prolonged period of time, it starts to become the norm.
So you mentioned earlier that some customers that you are working with are starting to recruit from the service industries and train for technical skills. So now we've got kind of two paths, right? Hire for EQ, train for technical, or hire for technical, train for EQ. Do you think one is easier or shorter than the other?
I think it depends very much on the different areas around the world where we have these different skills shortages. Some people are almost forced down a particular route, and so therefore they have to make it work. So if you are genuinely short of IT skills in your particular local area, you want people to work in your office, sometimes you have no choice. You're forced to go out of the industry and train. And I've seen a number of folks that I've spoken to absolutely swear by it. They see it working. On the flip side, in fact, I had an email from one of my customers in the last 24 hours who said to me, Mark, you know, this habit stuff is great, but I am struggling to get my technicians, the technicians who are older. He didn't put an age on it, so I wouldn't like to say how old they are, but they've been in the industry for a long time. They're more experienced. They're more ingrained in their ways. And he said he's finding it incredibly hard to get them to change, whether that's from a personality point of view or from a process point of view. I don't think it really matters. So what I suggested to him was, this is very much a cultural thing. I've spoken to a number of MSP businesses who've actually got the team members rather than the management agreeing and putting together the mission, the vision, the values, particularly important for that particular team or for that particular company. And they actually saw a couple of individuals decide to leave of their own accord, because they realized it wasn't for them. I thought that was interesting. And so that's something I recommended. It's not meant to be a threat, but it's just meant to be trying to get some buy-in. And if everybody buys into the same type of ethos and values, hopefully you'll start to see a bit of collective change and everyone moving in the right direction.
Now, help desks are also a place where emotions can run really high, right? It's very easy to get frustrated with a customer who's maybe coming to you with the same request repeatedly or is doing something that, because of your knowledge, you think is really basic and dumb. How do some of the techniques that you employ help help desk people with those frustrating emotions?
Yeah, we've all experienced that. I certainly have. Things can get quite raw on a help desk. My background briefly was to found a software business, and I was the help desk for a couple of years. And when stuff goes wrong or you get irritated customers, either rightly or wrongly, it can be very, very difficult, particularly when you're younger, you're less experienced, and you really do take these things to heart. So a couple of things I would say. First of all, is to recognize that it's almost certainly not your fault. I mean, it could be, of course, in which case acknowledge it. But you know, 9 times out of 10, it's not you personally that they are angry with, anxious with. It's almost certainly a bigger picture. And so sometimes, you know, just remembering it's not personal is worthwhile. But the other thing I talk about, and I find it a fascinating concept, is something called the service recovery paradox, which simply put is, when things go wrong in business and you solve them well, customers are likely to be more loyal to you as a business than as if that problem hadn't occurred in the first place. So it's all about fixing the problem well. And if you do, you get that natural gratitude shining through from a customer, then they think you're amazing because you've managed to fix this problem. So even when you're in this sort of trough of despair, I don't know, a data center's gone down or something, there's a big problem that's occurred. If you do try and stay level-headed, and the habit I like to talk about around this is when you're in the thick of it, you're in that trough of despair, is to think forward, you know, to think a week forward, to think 2 weeks forward, when you know that that problem will have got sorted out and the customer has typically moved on to other things. But to remember how they're going to be feeling if you solve it well, if you do a great job there and then, they're likely to be more loyal to you and grateful to you than if that problem hadn't happened in the first place.
That's very interesting. And I like that technique of thinking ahead and sort of envisioning the nice outcome that you're looking for. So I know a lot of MSPs, if you were to talk to them, would tell you that we're customer focused, we're serious about good customer service, we're all about the customer. So these techniques, do you think they can help an MSP stand out from the crowd when everyone is kind of saying that they do this?
Yes, I do, is the short answer. I see it every day. The bland companies who do a great job, don't get me wrong, you can automate lots of stuff, you can be an efficient help desk without really focusing on these skills. Those sorts of companies, they'll be fine to a certain extent. But what I've seen with my own eyes, and I saw this particularly in my SaaS business that I founded, Customer Thermometer, we set a very, very clear vision in the very early days that we were going to treat every customer like royalty, the 110% for every response, the little touches, remembering bigger customers' birthdays, remembering that somebody's wife may have gone to hospital and just dropping them a line a couple of weeks later. Those types of touches, which cost nothing, but they're just a discipline and a skill set which you can develop over time, they mean the world. And they then accelerate that type of business from the bland and the unremarkable to someone or to a company which actually gets talked about, which gets referred, which gets recommended. And when you read the reviews in whatever system you want to look at, you know, they're glowing and people talk about the people behind the scenes, because at the end of the day, people want to do business with people. Sure, they want to get stuff done, but it's those little touches which I truly believe will propel businesses to the next level. And that's why I'm so passionate about it.
Excellent. Parting thoughts for MSPs on this topic of help desk habits and human help desk.
I tell a story about my father-in-law where the crux of it is that I've been doing his IT support for about 25 years unofficially, as we all do for our relatives. And my wife says something to me where I realized, actually, I'm looking after his personal photographs, his memories, and it's enabling his livelihood to go ahead and do all of his voluntary work and so on. And when it fails, he can't do what he wants to do. And that's the same for everybody. We're not all looking after, in business, looking after those personal artifacts, but we are enabling livelihoods. And I think sometimes it's easy to forget. And as I said before, it's about thinking about the human beings on the end of the endpoints can, just for a moment, can actually really change how you start to interact with customers. And hopefully that will then filter down from a business owner. That's where it has to start, empowering teams to go about and do the same things. So if people listening to this need any help and they like the sorts of things I've just been talking about, Cam, go ahead and buy the book. You'll find Help Desk Habits on Amazon. But there's also an online program which I've created and a certification. And there's only 5 hours of video in there, a bunch of resources. There's 70 desktop wallpapers, something I desperately believe in, and a certification as well. And for listeners to this podcast, there is a nice little coupon code, which possibly will be in the show notes, Jennifer, I'm not sure, but I'll give it to you anyway. Frankly MSP number 10. So Frankly MSP 10 will get you 10% off that program. But drop me a line. If anybody needs any ad hoc advice, I'd be delighted to pass it back.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Mark. And thank you for that discount for our listeners.
No problem, Jennifer. It's lovely to talk to you.
That was Mark Copeman, author of Help Desk Habits. I'll put a link to that customer service training course Mark mentions in today's show notes at ovit.com/franklymsp/060. Remember, as a listener of this podcast, you get 10% off that course with promo code FranklyMSP10. In the show notes, I'll also put a link to Mark's book, Help Desk Habits, and his contact info. So if you want to know more, dig deeper, get in touch, go to ovik.com/franklymsp/060 for all that info. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.